mention up. The Lord is good.
Amen.
And I'm glad that His mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Thank you for singing the song that God laid on your heart and that was a blessing to all of us.
Amen.
I appreciate people using their talent to serve the Lord. I sure am thankful that God is faithful.
Amen.
I am. I'm glad. I'm so thankful. Oh, how I yearn in my soul to please the Lord.
Right.
I want to please the Lord with my life.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
Is that your desire this morning? You know, someone has said that everyone lives to please someone. I wonder who you're living to please. It's a searching question, isn't it? It really is. It's one that all of us must answer. Because it's really, there's no denying that everyone lives to please someone. Everybody lives to please somebody. And that's really what I want to preach to you this morning, if I can get to it. Amen. I'm beside myself. I'm so thankful.
Amen.
Not as thankful as I should be. But I sure am grateful that I know something about what was just saying.
Right.
I know something about that. I know the one that they just sang about.
Right.
I do. I know Him. I don't just know about Him. I know Him. And it is my desire to do exactly what Pastor David read in your hearing. There's a phrase, and it's in the last part of verse number 1 of chapter 4, and I'll eventually get to it, I think. It says, so ye would abound more and more. The Apostle Paul here is telling these believers, he's saying, you know, I'm proud of you. I'm thankful for what you've done. As a matter of fact, he spent all of chapter 1 saying that. Remember when we're going through the book of Thessalonians. And in chapter 1, he said, you know, I'm glad you're saved. Let's turn back there just for a moment. He said in verse number 4 of chapter, well, if you go to verse number 2, he said, we thank God always. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. He said, we're thankful for you. He said, I've seen God work in your life. And he said in verse number 4, he said, you're saved. You know what it is. You know the election of God. You know what it is to be called. You know what it is to respond to the call of God and receive the forgiveness of sin. And he said, we're glad. We're happy for you. We're thankful that you're saved. And then he said in verse number 5, the latter part there, or verse number 6, the latter part of verse 5, he's in the first part of verse number 6, he says, you became followers of us. He says, you're not only saved, you're surrendered. He says, you know what it is to follow and to get in behind what the church is about and what Jesus is about and what doctrine is about and what learning is about and what growing is about. He said, you surrendered to that. You didn't resist it and kick back. You allowed God to form and to mold your life. He said in verse number 6, also the latter part there, he said, not only are you saved and you understand what it is to be surrendered, but you've accepted a little suffering. He said you've accepted some affliction, actually much affliction. You see that? Much affliction. And he said you didn't buy into, well, you know, you get saved and all your problems go away. You didn't buy into this easy road, you know, that some people try to paint the Christian life as. You understand there's bumps in the road. There's hardships. That God has called you to a life that's going to require some sacrifice. It's going to require some suffering so that you can grow. Suffering's not all bad. And you're learning that early in your Christian life. And so he said, we're thankful. And then he said, not only that, he said in verse number 7, he said, in verse number 7 and 8, he said, you're sounding out, you're soul winners, you're not keeping it to yourself. You're sharing the gospel. You're getting the word out. And he said, all the while you're doing this, in verse number 10, He said, you're looking for Jesus to come back. He said, I'm thankful for you. Right? And then he, in chapter 2 and 3, I won't go into it. You remember the study. He said, you know, our lives are not a bed of roses either. As preachers, as leaders, as ministers of the gospel. And he said that we were hindered. Satan hindered us. And we came in among you and we wanted to treat you as a mother. Look at chapter 2 just for a moment, verse number 7. He said that we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. We showed you a motherly kind of love because we were the ones who gave spiritual birth. We brought you to the place where you allowed Jesus to be your Savior. And we wanted to nourish you as a mother nurses her child. We wanted you to grow and to receive nourishment. Not only that, he said in verse number, if you'll look at verse number 11, he said, not only did we nourish you as a mother, but we comforted and charged you in verse number 11 as a father. He said, so we have that parental love for you. And he said that Satan followed us all the way, but God is our helper. Amen? God is our helper. And in chapter number 3, he said, we're praying for you. And this is where we ended up. And he said, we're praying for your faith in verse number 10. And he said, we're praying for it to be enlarged. We're praying for your faith to be perfected. And we're praying that your love may abound, that it would overflow. And we're praying that you'd be established in the hope of Jesus Christ, that God would establish you and settle you and help you to be grounded in truth and not just blown about, in and out, off and on, hot and cold. He said, I want you to be established because that's where it's at. That's where it's at. That's when you began to really reap the benefits of the Christian life, to where you can you know that God has your best interest in mind. You know that God is watching over you with care, and he's watching over you to meet your needs and to take you through and to provide and protect. And then when he begins chapter 4, it's almost he begins the word with the word furthermore. He really hasn't given a whole lot of instruction. But now he's getting ready to. And he said, I want to instruct you. Now all the word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen? All of it is. He said, but I want to get down now. He said, I've told you, I'm glad you've gotten in this race. I'm glad you're saved. I'm glad that you started out well. But now, just because you start out well doesn't mean you're going to finish well. And the Apostle Paul was big on finishing. As a matter of fact, he himself, when he came to the end of his journey, when he came to the end of his ministry, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Amen. He said, I finished. I finished. And he said, I finished strong. And brethren, God wants you to finish strong, and I believe you want to finish strong. Listen, if you've gotten into this, you want to finish strong. Now, whether you do or not, that's yet to be seen. Whether I finish strong or not, that's yet to be seen. But now, God is our helper, and he wants us to finish strong. And so he's getting ready to give some admonition, some exhortation on how to finish strong. He said, furthermore, he said, I'm glad. I'm happy for how you got started. I'm thankful for it. He said, but now you're going to have to do some more if you're going to finish strong. You can't just coast on in across the finish line. Amen. You don't do that. And so he said, I want to give you some teaching, some doctrine to help you to do that. And he said, I'm going to name the number one thing that's going to help you finish strong. Do you know what it is? Think about it in your heart just for a moment. Ponder that for a moment. What is God going to do in my life? What does God want to teach me in my life? I've started out well. I'm on the right path. I'm on the right course. I'm growing. I've got good people praying for me, just like these folks. They had a good group of people praying for it. As a matter of fact, I don't know that there's really, to read chapter number 3, verses 9 through 13, it's hard for me to pull away from that. Because I see where a man was so, he was so in love with a group of people that he could not get them off of his heart. He knew that they needed some guidance. They needed some discipleship. They needed people to pray for them. Can I tell you, I need you to pray for me? Can I tell you, you need me to pray for you? We need to pray for one another, brethren. And if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in us that all we'll be doing is praying about us. And if you're not careful when you pray that way, you won't even be praying about that long, because you're operating on the bare minimum. And what the Apostle Paul is essentially going to say here in these first 12 verses is, listen, don't just do enough to get by. Don't just do enough to stay afloat. Don't just do enough to say, I'm still in the race. And so he said this, furthermore then, we beseech you. I mean, that's a strong word. It means plead, beg. He said, this is really important for you, Christian. Now, right now, I'm talking to Christians. If you're here and you're not saved, well, what I've already said, you need to get in the race. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. You say, well, I'm a religious person. Religious people don't go to heaven. Please understand that. Well, I'm a good person. Good people don't go to heaven. You understand that. You're going to make it to heaven, you must be born again. Amen. You have to be saved. You must be born again. It's not, listen, you say, well, that's an option. No, it's a necessity. The word must is not an option. Ye must be born again. That is a necessity. And I'm here to give you some good news this morning. You can be. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. If you will humble yourself and trust the finished work of Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Aren't you glad for that wonderful truth? Amen. Let me get into some of this, and I'm just going to lay a foundation. We're going to be in this section of Scripture for a couple of few weeks. So I want to give you a foundation. And I want to give you, first of all, an overview of these first 12 verses. Now, the thing that I must understand that God wants me to know in order to finish strong is that if I would live to please. But now, who am I going to live to please? Because as I've already said, everyone is living to please someone. And so I want you to think about this question. Who am I pleasing? Really, and you have to be honest now. Listen, God can't help a dishonest person. As a matter of fact, let me just give you the overview, because that's part of this section of Scripture. Number one, if I'm going to please God, I'm going to have to walk in holiness. Notice what he said here. He said in verse number 1 of chapter 4, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. So how am I going to walk to please God? And that is how I'm going to finish strong. When my mind, when my life is lived, when my mind is set, when my heart is given to please God and not myself and mankind, the world, then it's going to help me to finish strong. Amen. But I've got to start there. I have to learn what it is to walk. Do you see what he said? He said, I want to teach you. I want you to know what it is to walk so as to please God. Are you walking that way? Now listen, I can't make you. No one can make you. You can't make me. It is a decision. It is a choice to walk to please God. But it is a choice that has great benefits and reaps great dividends. And so he said, in order to do that, this is what it's going to look like. If I'm going to walk, if you're going to walk to please God, first of all, look at verse number 7. He said, then it's going to be in holiness. For God hath not called us into uncleanness, but into holiness. And so if I'm going to please God, I'm going to have to walk in holiness. You see that? Number 2, notice if you would in verse 9 and 10, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. I'm going to have to walk in harmony with my brethren.
Amen.
Harmony. You cannot love God and not love His people. Amen. There is no way. For how can you love God? How can you love God whom you have not seen if you do not love the brethren who you can see? Does not John teach us that? The Word of God teaches us that. And he said here that Jesus, the Lord, look at it. But as touching brotherly love, verse 9, ye have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And so there has to be harmony. Doesn't mean that we're all going to see things the same way. It doesn't mean that we're all going to agree on the same things or hold the same places in different areas. What it does mean is we're going to respect those as long as it's not outside the clear teaching of the Scripture. Amen. And that we're going to learn to allow people room to grow.
Amen.
Even ourselves. And understand that we don't know it all and we don't have all the answers.
Amen.
This is where you need to say amen. I know it's hard, but it's so. The reason that a lot of people can't get along with anybody is because they think they have all the answers. And I'm here to tell you, God sent me here to tell you this morning that you don't have all the answers. Now, I don't like that. Well, if it'll make you feel any better, I don't either. None of us have all the answers. But I'll tell you something that does. This book right here. This book has all the answers. So if I'm going to please God, if I'm going to walk in a way that's going to be pleasing to God, number one, I'm going to have to walk in holiness. Now, we're going to see what that looks like in just a moment. Later, we'll get to this. I'm going to have to walk in harmony. I'm going to have to get along with the brethren. I'm going to have to love the brethren. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. And then he said, not only walk in holiness and harmony, but notice if you would in verse number 12, that you may walk honestly. So here's three ways that God wants me to walk to please Him. And as I walk to please Him, it's going to help me to finish strong. Here's three ways that God wants you to walk to please Him. In holiness. Not just say it, not just know it, do it to walk in holiness. Number two, in harmony. Not just with those you like, but those you don't like. Amen. And number three, in honesty. Sometimes Baptists just need to follow verse number 11. Look at what verse number 11 says. Verse number 11 says, that you study to be quiet and do your own business. Amen. You say, well, you should have said Methodist. Well, I'm not a Methodist. We'll let the Methodist preacher tell the Methodist that. I'm a Baptist preacher, so I'm going to tell you Baptists that. Amen. We need to learn what it is to study to be quiet and do our own business. Amen. And that'll help me to walk honestly. So here's three ways. Did you write them down in your heart? I hope that you did. Because it's going to help us to please God. It pleases God when I'm walking in holiness. It pleases God when I'm walking in harmony. And it pleases God when I'm walking in honesty. It pleases God when you do as well.
Amen.
It does. Now, how am I going to do that, though, preacher? I mean, that sounds good, but what does that look like? Well, the word walk is an interesting word. It, you know, the Christian life, and by the way, that is what he's saying. He's saying, you started out well. You took a step by faith, and isn't that the way the Christian life begins, by a step of faith? But then that step has to turn into a walk. Walk is a suggestion of progress. You have to make progress in your life. If you're still where you were a year ago in your Christian experience, you're backslidden. As a matter of fact, if you haven't gone forward in the last month, something's broken in your relationship with Christ. Mine too. We need to be growing. We need to be moving. We need to be walking. When the Apostle Paul, when he talked about Christian growth and Christian progress, he used the word walk. You know why? Because to get from where you are to where you want to be, you need to walk. You say, well, I want to be this as a Christian. I want to be that. Well, that's progress. And so it demands, a walk demands progress, but it also demands strength. And I'm here to tell you, you're not walking alone.
Amen.
As your days, Deuteronomy says, so shall thy strength be. Aren't you glad for God's help?
Amen.
Now, as I go through this, I don't want you to miss something. I don't want you to miss the way this section ends. If you look down at this section, The scripture's talking about that God's going to help us. Look at verse number 8. It says, who hath also, you see the end of verse number 8 of chapter 4, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. You say, well, now, preacher, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this holiness thing. I mean, there's temptation out there, and I have weaknesses, and I'm still in the flesh, and I just don't know. I have some besetting sins, and I just keep running into these hiccups, and I keep running these bumps in my road as I'm walking, and God is saying, I understand that, and that's why I have given you my Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who is my helper, amen? Thank God for the Holy Spirit is your helper. If you are saved, the Spirit of God lives in you, and he will help you as he will help me, as he will help us to walk in holiness. He will also help us to walk in harmony. You say, well, I just can't love so-and-so. No, listen. You're acting like love is something you can't control. It's not that you can't love, it's you won't. Love is something I'm in control of. I get to choose who I love. And I'm glad I do. Amen. That's why God said that we're to love him. He said, choose to love me. You're to love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why? It's a choice. God said, make the choice to love me. And so please don't say, well, I just can't love them. No, you just won't. But can I tell you, God has given his Holy Spirit to you so he can teach you, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts as believers by the Holy Ghost. And he has taught me to love people that were unlovable. He has taught people to love me who I can be unlovable sometimes. I'm glad that God has helped me to love the unlovable, and he's helped others to love me when I was unlovable. I'm glad that God loves me when I'm unlovable. The Holy Spirit does that, brethren. So how am I going to walk honestly, and how am I going to study to be quiet and do my own business? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, and he'll help you do that. Would you let him? Would you let him? Would you yield and let the Holy Spirit help you to please God? Would you? Well, let's look. I'll give you a couple of truths and then we'll be through for this morning. We'll pick up here, the Lord willing, moving forward in the weeks to come. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk. Now, he said, I'm going to tell you how you ought to live. You're a Christian now. You got saved. You're doing good. But troubles are coming. Obstacles are going to be laid in the way. Opposition is out there. Amen? And he said, I'm going to tell you how you can finish strong in victory. And you can walk as to please God. And that last phrase there is really, really wonderful. So you would abound more and more. You know what the apostle's saying? The apostle Paul's saying, you need to excel. You're doing good. But don't let me telling you you're doing good make you think you've arrived. That's what he's saying. He's saying, don't listen, what I wrote to you earlier in this letter about how you've turned to God from idols, and how you're serving the Lord out of love, that labor of love, and that patience of hope, and how it sounded out from you the word of the Lord, so that all in Macedonia are hearing, and how you're looking for Jesus to come, and man, you're doing good. He said, but wait a minute, you need to do more. Amen. What do you want out of me? Everything. Amen. Wait a minute, preacher. Not me, God. God wants everything out of us. God wants it all. How dare him? How could he? Because he gave it all. Amen. I say away with this mindset. I say away with this dead religion that says, well, just do what you can. No! Excel. Abound. Do more. Expect more. Give more. Don't give up. Give more. He said, here, look at it again. The Apostle Paul, listen, Paul, he didn't mix words. He said, I'm proud of you, and I'm thankful for you. He said, the last part of verse number 1, he said, but I want to see you abound more and more. I want to see you excel. You're doing good, but you could do better. Oh, no, wait a minute, preacher. Well, wait a minute now. Don't get mad at Paul. God told him to write it. And before you get mad at God, ask yourself a question, and I'll ask my, I've already asked myself this question, and I'll tell you the answer when you tell me. Could you do better? Then don't get mad at the Apostle Paul for telling them to. Could you do more for Jesus? Not for you, because that's not who you're living to please. Well, maybe that's why you do get mad when somebody tells you to give more to Jesus. Because you are living to please yourself. And if I'm living to please myself, I will get offended when a preacher stands up and tells me, give more. And I'm not talking about money either, brother. I'm talking about something that's more valuable to God than a piece of paper with a number on it. I'm talking about something that God died for, that He sent His Son Jesus to shed His blood for. Your soul. Give more of you. Give more. Excel. You've got more, give it. Amen. You say, I'm giving all I can, preacher. Well, then God's pleased. And when God is pleased, you're on good ground. He says, so I want to write unto you, and I want to tell you how you ought to walk. And he said, you ought to walk to where you're pleasing God only. And if you'll please God, if that'll be the focus of your life, others will be pleased if they really love you. But now if they don't love you, pleasing God's not going to be enough for them. Turn to Romans 15 just for a moment. Romans 15. I have much more to say, but I'll set the rest in order when I come. Romans 15, when I come back. We'll pick back up here, but I do want to give you three ways to please. Number one, Romans 15. This is the first way, and I'm afraid America's eat up with it. And I'm an American. I mean, I am a true American. But I'm a Christian first. Romans 15, verse number 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Who are you living to please? Somebody said this, and I like it. They said, now if you're going on vacation for a week, live to please yourself that week. But it's a terrible way to live your life. Who are you living to please? Does everything you do come back to you? Do you run things through God? Do I? Do we check with God to see how He is with what we're doing? Can I tell you that Enoch walked with God in a way that pleased God? That's what the Bible says. Amen. It pleased God. The way Enoch walked with God. He said, well, it's hard in this day. I think it was hard in Enoch today. But he done it. Or did it. Let me get my English grammar correct here. But he did it. All right. So you can live to please yourself. I'm not judging you. I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You can live to please yourself. Now, don't do that. Listen. If you'll please God, God will see to it that you get yours. You'll get far more by living to please God if you live to please yourself.
Amen.
You'll get far more if you'll just live to please God. Number two, I want you to turn if you would. So that's one way you can live, to please yourself. But the Bible says here, don't do that. Don't do that. It doesn't end well. It doesn't. As a matter of fact, can I tell you that this is a sign of the end times? Paul sets up. Men will be lovers of self more than lovers of God in the last days when the perilous times come. Is that what the word says, brethren? It is. Now turn, if you would, to Galatians just a moment. Would you turn there in Galatians chapter 1? Galatians chapter number 1, if you would turn there. Look at verse number, Galatians 1 and verse number 10. So Paul said, now don't live to please yourself. Don't do that. You want to walk in a way that's honoring to God, that's going to please God, that's going to help you be stronger as a Christian, that's going to put you on good ground with God, and it's going to help you to finish your Christian experience strong, then don't live to please yourself. Number two, notice in Galatians 1, look at verse number 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You're not going to serve God in a way that is going to please God when you're doing it to please men. Nor am I. Now, does this mean I need to go out and place a curse on everyone and be cantankerous and mean-spirited and ugly and have a foul spirit? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means if my first intention is to make sure that I have the approval, see the word persuade there that he uses in verse 10? Do I persuade men or God? Am I looking for the approval of men or God? Do I just want to make a show for men or God? Who am I concerned about how they feel about my life and how I'm living? And we just have to be transparent here, brethren. Sometimes we get far more concerned about what men and others think of us than what God thinks of us. And we're not going to get help in this area until we're just transparent and honest about it. God help me not to live so that others will think a way of me when I need to be concerned about what you think of me. And so here's what he said. Here's what he said. He said, don't live to please yourself. Don't do that. Go back to Thessalonians now and we'll close. He said, don't live to please yourself. That's not right. Oh, your life will be just full of sorrow. Your life will be full of letdown. Everything will be turned inward, and there'll just be no peace. No peace. No joy. Everything will just kind of be centered around the bubble, and you'll be the only person in it. Don't live to please yourself. There's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself. As a matter of fact, our body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. God wants us to take care of ourselves. But don't allow your life to be just dominated by doing everything that's going to benefit you. In other words, don't be a taker in life. Number two, don't live to please man. Don't live to please others only. God wants us to help other people. The Bible's full of teaching like that. But that should not be our first priority. Our first priority is not to please others. Our first priority, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 1, is to walk in a way that would please God. And then he begins to tell us how. Now, I'm not going to go into this week, but I do want to say this. I want you to look at verse number 2. For you know the commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. You say, I just want to please God, preacher. Then do his commandments. Then do what God said. See, our problem in America is not that we don't know what God said. We're just not willing to do it. Did you notice something there? Paul said that we gave you. You need a church. And this, I'm not going to make this about Fellowship Baptist Church. You just need a church. Many of you have chosen a church. Some of you have yet, and you need to. Amen. You need a church home. You need a pastor. You need a church family.
Amen.
Amen. The Word of God teaches it. You need a place where you can be faithful to the commandments. Did you notice who gave the commandments? God's men. You need to place yourself under the commandments. Don't do the bare, listen, don't do just the bare necessity or the bare, the least you can do. Well, I'm here, Anna, Sunday morning. Where are you going to be tonight? I don't like that. Who are you living to please? I'm mad. It's because you're living to please yourself. Well, the Bible don't teach that. That's debatable. Where are you on Wednesday nights? How are you going to keep the commandments when you don't receive them? Well, you don't have to go to church on Sunday night to be a Christian. Well, we're not coming here because we have to. I hope you're not here this morning because you have to be. And when you come back tonight, I hope it's not because you have to be. We get to be. We made this very clear. This is an honor. This is a privilege. So don't get mad at the preacher. Now, some of you are probably okay until I got to this closing dialogue here. But I'm just telling you, this is not about pleasing me. If you go to another church, you don't live to please the preacher, live to please God. Get in church. Just quit attending and start serving. Amen. Amen. Serve God. Quit this hit and miss every now and then, just as little as I can go and still call myself a church attender. And get faithful. Amen. You say, would that please you, preacher? It's not about pleasing me, but it would. But more importantly, it would please God. It would. You say, well, how would that be if it's not in the Bible? Well, the commandments are. When you come here, you're going to get taught the commandments. And the first thing that he said when he said, I'm going to teach you how to walk to please God, he mentioned the commandments. I can learn those on my own. Well, you haven't read. See, that's how little you know about the Bible. That's why you need to be here more. Because God has given preachers and teachers to the church to teach the church things that they're not going to get on their own. Amen. And here all this while, you thought you could do it on your own. We need a church. I'm glad I'm part of one, and I'm glad you are. And I want to thank God for those of you who make it a priority in your life. And God is pleased with that. And for those of you who have yet to grow to that place in your Christian life, I'm not fussing at you. I'm preaching to you God's word. Get in God's house. Let God grow you up. Let God help you. Live in a way that would please him. You say, now, you go ahead and stand to your feet. Now, someone's out there, and they're saying, well, you know what, I don't like that. Well, if you'll read on down, it talks about fornication, and it talks about sin and keeping your vessel. Most of the time, people miss church is because they're living a sinful life. And they don't want to be under the sound but just so much. They just want to be under the sound just so much. You say, well, wait a minute, now, hold it. Yeah, I've been doing this a long time, okay? So that stuff is just not real. You need to get real with yourself. This is not on me. It's not on the church. It's not on the Word. It's not on the Holy Spirit. It's on you. And you need to get that fixed. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to live in a way that'll please God. And God wants you to live in a way that would please Him. Who are you living to please? Let's bow our heads. The pianist is going to begin to play.